In this part of the show, we will be talking about antiques and collectibles, something that we do occasionally, and listeners seem to find it interesting and fun. And we welcome back to the program Barbara Peckham from Peckham Estate Sales and Appraisers in Champaign. And she's brought along her son, Matthew, for her first time to also spend a little time on the show with us this morning. We're really pleased to have them here. The opportunity is the same as always. If people have some object, it can be a family heirloom, can be something that they've purchased. If you're curious about its value, if you can give us a description, the best that you can, I know that they will do their best to give you an approximate value. And maybe if folks have other sorts of questions about antiques and collecting, they'll do their best, I'm sure, to give you an answer. All you have to do is call us here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Well, we're glad to have you here once again.
Glad to be here. Always happy to do this.
We have a caller, and rather than make them wait, we'll start right in. This is someone calling from the Chicago area on our toll-free line, line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm always delighted when you have Mrs. Peckham and now two Peckhams on. My question is this. I have a Buddha, which is about 9 or 10 inches tall and on an elaborate base of about 3 inches. It's wood, and I assume it's gold paint, not gold leaf, but I don't know. My understanding is that it's wood and that it could have been Japanese around the turn of the century. Where could I find out more about it, and would you have any ballpark idea of, you know, what something like this might be worth?
Well, I believe there are some Chinese-Japanese dealers in Chicago. I think there's one, a famous one, in the Merchandise Mart.
Uh-huh.
I think it's I.M. Chait.
Okay.
And something like that.
How would
you really
spell that? I.M.?
I am Chait, I believe. He's in Chicago.
Okay.
C-H-A-I-T.
I believe
okay.
so.
Mm-hmm.
And something like this, you really have to get to an expert. It could be 200 years old, you know. It could look just turn of the century, but it could be much older. I would say it probably is a gilded wood, which is what would be a typical thing that they would do.
Yeah. When you say gilded, that means?
Gold leaf.
Uh-huh.
On the wood.
Yes.
But really, like I say, to date it, you really have to get it to an expert.
Okay.
It could be new, like you say, or a turn of the century, but could be older and could be very valuable. Could just have decorative value also.
Yes.
And I hope it's very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very lovely. It's really beautiful, and it's a very calming kind of presence, so it's, you know, we really appreciate it.
Right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Thank you for the call. And let's go next back here locally. And the next person in line is Champaign, and that's line number 1. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about Hummel figures. And I have, my wife inherited a collection of her grandmother's of Hummel figures, and they're 30 figures, and I know, you know, the different
marks and such
and so forth. What I'm wondering is there someone in the area who is an expert on it? I mean, I can see the catalog value, and I know that, but I wanted to see where you go from there in terms of finding someone who could actually give you a current appraisal or would be able to sell it or buy it.
There are numerous Hummel collectors. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, there are none right here in this community. Mm-hmm. There are many that buy Hummels, but most of the Hummels that we sell that come from estates are sold to dealers.
Uh-huh. Are there Hummel dealers who specialize in that?
There are just dealers locally that do buy Hummels. The only thing is that if you're trying to get the best price for these, the best thing would be to send them to auction. And, you know, you would always take them to the most appropriate place.
So where would be the most appropriate place to auction them?
I think, quite frankly, that Chicago area is the best. I don't think Sotheby's would take them. Do you have anyone who sells for you online? Or do you know anyone that...
No, but I'm you're thinking going online is the way...
eBay, yes. That people are getting wonderful results with eBay. And, you know, I would suggest that. Also, if you do have a Hummel book, most current price guide,
right,
that's going to give you a very good idea of what they are worth.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily what you're going to get. That's book value, which is almost an insurance value.
Right.
So, however, on eBay, you may even get more than that.
Uh-huh.
So, does that a help to you at all?
Yeah, so that means go on eBay. But, I mean, my understanding is on eBay you need to have... the pictures and the whole thing.
Actually, with a Hummel, I think the book number is sufficient. Everyone knows what it is. If you describe the mark and the number of the figure, I think you'd be fine.
Number and the mark.
Right.
The T mark, whatever it is.
Right on.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the call. Next person here is on line number two, and they're in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
I was wondering about your Champaign County Historical Society. How are you doing on that? Are you in business with that, or?
Well, we had a new director that started this morning. I was with him from 8:30 until we arrived here. He is outstanding. His name is Paul Eidelman, and he is actually from this community. He was the director at. Colorado Springs Historical Museum. And we are the Champaign County Historical Museum, not the society.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. But I think wonderful things are going to be happening now. And, you know, thank you much for asking about it.
Well, I have another question then. Are you accepting any kinds of goods for your exhibits?
We certainly will be now.
Because I have a couple of things that I think might be appropriate to give you, so I was wondering how I'd go about that, or having you at least look and see if you thought it was appropriate.
Okay. We'd be very pleased to do that. And the phone number at the museum is 356-1010.
Oh, wait a minute.
So, yes, do indeed call there, now that we have somebody answering the phone.
356-1010. Okay.
Right on.
And there is somebody there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
You've got a director and you're going forward.
We sure are. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. What sort of things do you think that you might be interested in?
Anything that is related to Champaign County history.
Okay.
Artifacts, art objects, ephemera, anything.
The museum has a wonderful collection, probably one of the best collections downstate of vintage clothing. Women have given their wedding dresses, their mother's wedding dresses. So we have a wonderful selection from early Victorian to probably the 60s and 70s. And it's truly a great collection of vintage clothing.
And you think now that there'll be more opportunities for people to go and see things or for there to be shows and exhibitions?
Oh, yes. David, we should probably be open with all the cases in and the exhibits in June.
Great.
We're starting now to move things in.
All right. Very good. Well, our guests this morning here on this hour of Focus 580, Barbara Peckham and Matthew Peckham from Peckham Estate Sales and Appraisers in Champaign. And it's a show that we do every once in a while, talk a little bit about antiques and collectibles. People enjoy calling in. And if you have questions, you can do that. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. A caller here in Atlanta. Line number three. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
I got a kind of an interesting object here that obviously isn't going to be an antique, but maybe you can tell me a little bit more about it. It's a lamp, and the lamp's probably quite old in the fact that maybe from the 50-ish area, because you can kind of tell by the UL sticker that it's quite old, and the light bulbs in it are some that you couldn't put in it today.
Mm-hmm.
The lamp is a walnut base that's about 28 inches long. And it stands on little turn brass pegs that are about an inch and a half high. And then it has a railing around the base that is made of similar turned brass that is about 4.5 inches high. And then it has a lampshade that sits probably about a foot maybe above the lamp that encompasses the whole area of this piece of walnut, so you can see the lampshade is really weird. And on the lamp base it says, authentic reproduction of an antique toy steamer made by the Dent Manufacturing Company, Circula, 1893. And then, of course, sitting between the railings is this magnificent cast iron steam pumper machine with three horses and a driver and a fireman. And it's kind of made in the old way that everything's kind of riveted together, but you can see that it has, like, for the hoses, kind of modern fittings on the hoses. So obviously, you know, it's not old.
Right.
And, you know, I found it, a couple of years ago in an antique mall, and I like toys and was attracted to it. So
sure.
Now it's sitting here. As a lamp, it's really ugly, but as a toy, it's beautiful.
Right. Well, you say the plaque does say that the toy is a reproduction of an earlier toy, though.
Yes, it says authentic reproduction.
Okay.
Then it does say, though, made by the Dent Manufacturing. Instead of Dent Hardware, it says Dent Manufacturing.
Uh-huh. And have you heard of the Dent Company, sir?
Surely.
As a collector?
I'm not really a collector, but I've heard of the Dent Company and know that they made beautiful cast iron toys, you know, back starting before the turn of the century.
Right. Okay. Well, I would say that since you date the lamp to the 50s, I would think that the toy, even as a reproduction being that old, has some value. An original, you know, we would think would be pretty valuable. Could be a couple thousand dollars easily for an original cast iron toy. So you would think that a 1950s reproduction by the company that made the originals, even if it was in a later company, would have, you know, at least a couple hundred dollar value. And it being a decorative lamp also, you would think that it would have a little more value. So
yep.
I would think $350 even as a 50s reproduction, because some of the reproductions, early reproductions, are bringing very good money.
Absolutely. I agreed very much.
Well, that's interesting. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you. Well, now, with an object like this, if it sounds as if the thing that interests him most is the reproduction of the toy. He says, and it's part of this lamp, and the lamp's not real attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Would it detract from the value of the piece of this toy reproduction if you took it away from the lamp?
It might be. It depends on if it's integral to the lamp. It might have been paid as part and bolted down and, you know, made as the lamp thing. If it was just kind of stuck on these lamp bases that you could get to put a figural piece or something there, it wouldn't detract from it. So you have to be careful. You have to weigh whether it detracts from the piece or doesn't, really, to its value.
I think I would prefer to keep it with the lamp. You know, there were a lot of funky things that came out of the 50s and early 60s in lamps.
And funk is in.
People today, they like that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep on here. Let's go to Rockford, line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. I have some mechanical antiques, and I wanted to ask you about one or two of those.
Sure.
One is a handheld knotter. It's made to knot textile warp tying. It's a handheld warp tying machine.
Right.
Made by Barbara Coleman. And I worked there, but I didn't work in that division. And it was probably, we think it's the first one made because it's serial number C100.
Does it have a date on the patent date on the?
Yeah, patent date of April 1901, March 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first product that Coleman made to start his company.
Ah.
And it's a very intricate little knotting machine, like a knotter on a binder or a twine tie baler, only it's in miniature for tying a warp in a textile mill.
Right.
There's lots of interesting gears and cams and levers and springs and cutters on it.
Could that be a salesman sample, Matthew?
No. This gentleman knows that it was something that they actually used in the factory, I believe.
Used.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the other piece, sir, is?
Well, the other piece is a watch without a case. I don't have a case for it, but it's an old watch using the Verge mechanism of escapement.
Right.
And it has a fusing linkage between the mainspring and the drive mechanism to keep constant torque.
It had the fusing movement?
Yes.
But it's just the case?
It's just the watch without a case.
Oh, it's the watch without the case. Excuse me. And is the face on it have a name or anything, sir?
No. No, there's some inscribing on the brass on the,
back
of it. And there's, I can tell from a watch book, it was made probably in the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Is it finally, does it have fine open work in the mechanism and back, and is it gilded? Like the movement and the holding for the movement is all highly decorated and engraved? Is it
such a thing like that? I don't remember the term now in the watch book, but it has that fancy thing over the balance wheel with lots of little holes in it. It's an engraved thing.
Right.
And they have a name for that part.
Right. Probably wouldn't have a huge value just because any watch collector really, unless he had the original case of that period for it, you're just talking about a movement of the period.
Yes, I assume somebody sold the case for the...
Scrapped it or something, probably. Silver or gold, maybe, huh?
Probably.
Yes. So it would have to be very high grade for it to be worth even a couple hundred dollars. So it's depending on the quality of the movement, really. If it's something desirable that someone would want to put in an old case that they had, that would make it desirable. But it really depends on the quality of the movement.
And I would say probably $50 to $75.
Yeah. Could be more, but depending on if you find someone that really wanted it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because that represents the escapement represents an era in the evolution of
They were actually a chain-driven watch, weren't they, sir?
Yeah, it's a chain-driven on Fusey.
Right.
And then this escapement is the verge where it doesn't actually use the simple harmonic motion of a balance wheel in a modern watch.
Right, it's an early watch. And then the other piece, is it cast iron, the tool from the factory? Is it cast iron?
Okay, the handle part is brass or nickel, silver. The lever is the same, and then the rest... There's another part that's brass on it, and then the rest of it is blued steel.
Oh.
And there's no rust on it or anything.
Right.
Nice shape.
Well, it's a difficult item to place a value on just because it's such an... I mean, you would be one of the only people that probably knew what the heck it was, having worked in the factory.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about antiques.
Yeah.
You've got it has to be desirable to more than one or two people in order to come up with a value on it.
Sounds nicely machined, though, you know.
It's kind of a sentimental collector piece.
I would think, under $100, I would think. And that would be to someone who really knew what it was and desired it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Okay.
Those are interesting pieces.
And chances are probably, and I think Barbara and I, we've talked about this in the past, that something like that that has a strong local attachment to the Rockford area because it was a Rockford company probably will be worth more in Rockford than it would be, say, here in
absolutely.
It'd be nice to have it at a museum in Rockford, like our little museum has local things.
Yes, if there is a museum in Rockford, I'm sure they would love it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a museum in Rockford.
I'm sure that there is. All right. Well, very good. We're already close to the midpoint here. We're inviting your questions on antiques and collectibles. Barbara and Matthew Peckham are with us from Peckham Estate Sales and Appraisers in Champaign. All you need to do is call us. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Here's someone in Champaign, and it's line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a baby dish here, and it's circled with the alphabet. It's about 7.5 inches in diameter, has the alphabet all around it. And in the middle, there's a picture of a little girl feeding a teddy bear on a chair and another little girl in back of that chair. On the back, there's a crown. On the bottom, there's a crown with the letter CP, and it looks like company after that. And under that, it has a 4 and a 35.
Yeah, but it's all China, ma'am?
I'm not sure.
Right.
Pottery, China.
Right. Some of them had a metal base that you could pour hot water in.
No base.
Okay.
Okay, this is an ABC plate.
Yes.
And the company I'm lost at, it sounds English. It doesn't say England on it.
Not that I see.
And the initials are what?
C, P, and then C-O, the little,
company.
With a little O, so I take that as being company.
See, I can't think of what
Colgate-Palmolive is all that comes to my mind. I know they didn't make it.
Well, I can just tell you that your plate is going to start at $100 up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The big thing is getting that company identified. And there are many, many books on porcelain manufacturers.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's what you need to start with. But I'm going to say that your plate with the transfer print on it,
right,
as it would be, is going to be somewhere between 100 and 300. And I know that's a large spread there. But you really need to find out what company made it. And I'm certainly drawing a blank on CP.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Very good. Other questions are welcome.
Yeah, and there are lots of collectors for ABC plates.
Doll collectors decorate them with their doll collections. People have collections of...
just ABC plates.
Sure, or children's toy furniture. You know, so there are...
What is ABC plate? What is that?
It's got the alphabet on it.
There's a kiddie plate that you had at your,
children's
mom put at your 30s, the turn of the century through the 50s, 60s, they were popular.
The earliest one was around 1820 that first produced an ABC plate.
Okay, I got you.
Most of those are English.
Just before we got going... yes. We suddenly got some calls, and Barbara was just, we were just sort of chatting, and I wanted to get back to what you were talking about, because you said, first of all, you said it was, things were going well in antique business these days, but that you said something about the Antiques Roadshow and about how it's changed everything.
It's changed
everything
for the good and bad. Now everybody thinks that what they have is maybe worth a lot of money, which is fine. That it has made people more aware of their antiques. But it is also distressing to appraisers, dealers, when people think, this is probably going to be worth a lot more than people are telling me. But it is a phenomenon. And now, this show was in England for many years before it ever came here. And I was always amazed that we didn't have anything on antiques, because in England, from the beginning of TV, they have had programs on antiques, various and assorted types. And, of course, they became far more aware of antiques than they were here. But this has been just an incredible show and an enlightening thing for many, many people. And it's popular and a lot of fun. Everybody loves it. And I think it's probably the most... watched program on public radio, isn't it?
I think that you may well be right. Mm-hmm. If it's not the most, I'll bet that it's within the top 5 or 10 shows,
absolutely,
in terms of popularity. And I'm not. Do you know offhand how long the American version of the show has been going on?
I think it's just 3 years. I don't think it's any longer than 3 years, David.
Huh. Okay.
And the internet has changed a lot in the antique world too, really, to be honest, with eBay and a lot of the other online auction houses. Has made people in rural areas be able to get good money for their things if they want to spend the time to sell it online, and has brought a lot more people knowing about antiques, as the roadshow has. And it certainly hasn't taken over the antique world, but it's certainly something that people have to be aware of. It's not going to replace the good old antique shop or the antique shows. Because people still, it's a tactile thing. People want to touch it and see it.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I guess I would suspect that now that people have ways that they can sell things themselves, that this might put the pinch on dealers.
It does.
It does. And I'll tell you, it's putting out a lot of dealers, putting them out of business that never handled high-end things. That's the sort of thing that many people are putting on the internet, the collectibles that haven't reached, brought a lot of money.
It's not good. The internet's not going to put Christie's out of business.
No,
no way.
It's best for, to be honest, I think, for the rare and unusual, because you're going to have an international clientele where you're going to be able to find a client base for these things that are difficult to sell in your local area. We have things in our gallery we have a piece of furniture that's $35,000. Well, we know we're not going to sell that in Champaign-Urbana, so we've contacted the Keno brothers and other dealers in New England. And we'll be sending them digital photographs, So this is the, kind of the wave of the future.
What is this object?
It's a high boy, which is basically a chest on legs. from about 1750 in original condition with the original finish, the original brass pulls, never had any restoration. So that's what makes this very desirable, is that it hasn't been refinished. It hasn't got any new nails in it or screws. It's all the original rosehead nails.
Interestingly enough, we have another highboy that is really probably would have been more valuable, but it has been absolutely stripped and refinished, and that is not that's reduced the value. Of course, that's what they tell
more
you
than
on
half,
the antique roadshow.
More than half the value has been reduced because of the refinishing.
Well, that's been a big. I think that's been probably been a big change for over the last I don't know 40 years or something. That when my parents, when I was a kid, collected stuff, and maybe it was just they were buying things that were sort of nice pieces, nothing great, but right. that had been painted many times. And of course, the thing that you did was you got out the zip strip and put on your rubber gloves and got your steel wool, and you just took all that stuff out. And I have several of those pieces, and they're very nice. But now we.
But you know, if it's been painted, it doesn't make any difference if you strip it and bring it back to. In fact, it enhances it. It's the things that have never been touched, you know.
And it's the really early things. Victorian furniture, I don't feel, really matters if it's been refinished. Certainly people want it in original finish, but it's the earlier furniture, federal period furniture, that where the original finish is so desirable because it just didn't last.
But Matthew, even in antique Victorian furniture, you're better off not to do anything.
Oh,
to
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So if you have something and it has some character, it's nice, it's desirable, you think it might be worth something, leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Right.
It alone.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. We have several callers now. In fact, we're all full, and we'll get back to Wellington for the first batch here. Line number 4. Hello.
Yes, this is kind of an irrelevant question a little bit, but I know the Peckhams participate, and I was kind of wondering how the WILL's version of the Antiques Roadshow went, and whether you thought it was a worthwhile thing to do, or you could have had more people, less people, or whatever.
Well, I know that I appraised about 65 items that day, and I think it was extremely successful. I think they ran it too long. I hope that, and they are planning to do it in March, I think, again.
I think so.
I would have shorter hours because everybody wanted to be there, so there was a mass of people to start with. And toward the end, it was a day that they had a game here in Champaign, which didn't help any, but toward the end, the last hour, there were very few people there. But I think it was very, very successful, and I think a lot of people learned a lot, and actually they filmed some of it. So it's going to be on the air.
I was just curious, is there some way that you could, you know, stagger your workload with that? I mean, I realize that when you see them on TV, they're wending their way out the door and all that on that program, too. But, you know, if they, maybe they, you know, when the people... to communicate one may like a.m. and 1 p.m. or something, you know, that...
You know, I think they did. I wasn't involved in the setting up of it. They did a really masterful job, but I think they did have people coming at certain hours. So, you know, that was a help, but it's that people really didn't sign up for the last end of it, and I think that's because that was a very long day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I was just curious. I think I'd have come just out of curiosity and brought something if I would live a little closer to Champaign. And so I was just curious how it worked.
Well, watch for them. They're going to do it again, and we'd love to see you.
As a curiosity in our area, kind of, I guess, a cultural curiosity.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you for inquiring.
Thanks for the call. I'm sure it's the kind of thing that was a very large undertaking, was something that we hadn't really done before, and I'm certain that when you do them, you learn every time you do it, you learn a few things, and you think, okay, now we know next time we're going to do this a little bit different. I'm sure that there's only so far you can get advice from people and say, how should we do this?
But, you know, Allison Davis did do a TV type of road show probably 3 years ago that was very successful. And we've discovered some incredible things.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sure the interest will continue to be there, and we will continue to.
Absolutely.
It's here. And, antiques are here to stay, Dave.
And certainly, if you're interested in what we might be doing along these lines in the future involving WILL television, you can call them, 333-1070, I think is the main TV number, and someone should be able to get back to you with information on that.
Right.
Okay. Next caller here is in Peoria. Line number 1. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good
yes.
morning.
We have a Lionel train set that it's 8 foot wide and 16 feet long. It
oh,
has
goodness.
A talking station, it has a tunnel, and we don't know what it's worth.
Wow, are you fortunate.
Now, do you have any idea of the age of it, sir?
Well, we got this about 40 years ago over in Mount Pulaski, Illinois. A doctor's son had this. We also have watches that were made in Springfield, Illinois.
Ah,
and father worked there.
In Elgin, Illinois.
What, Illinois watches, sir?
Yes.
Illinois pocket watches, are they?
There's pocket watches, and then there's a lady's watch that they wore around their neck, and it has a diamond in it and has flowers of different colors.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
That's an Elgin, right?
Well,
is the woman's watch an Elgin?
I don't know.
Probably.
For years.
Right. Well, the variance in the prices on Lionel trains is amazing, really. I've got a price guide here in front of me that has a small selection of them. And, you know, just one car, here's a caboose that's $190.
Oh, my.
And, but it depends on the age, the condition. But accessories can be valuable. You say you have a talking station?
Yes, and it has a milk cans where it loads and unloads by itself.
Oh, neat. Right. Wasn't that stuff wonderful? They don't make toys like that anymore, do they?
You know, they're all plastic.
Yep.
But
how would I get an appraisal on that?
Well, you're in Peoria, sir?
Yes.
Well, to be honest, I think your best bet is to actually buy a Lionel price guide. A price guide to Lionel trains will be in your local, one of the large bookstores, Barnes & Noble. I'm sure Peoria has a large bookstore there.
Yes.
And it's worth it for the $25 or so to buy a Lionel price guide because they made so many trains. It depends on the model. It depends on the year. It depends on the condition. So there's a lot to it, and it'll take some time for you to go through your items and look at the numbers on them and look them up.
And but, also, you know, if you look in your phone book under appraisers, I know that there's a Di Perino in Peoria that belongs to the American Appraisers Association. Any accredited, certified appraiser can appraise that for you.
Or you could also get in touch with the local collectors society. I'm sure there's a Lionel Train Collectors Club there, and I know here in town that the Dursts that own the Schwinn dealership are avid train collectors and sell trains. As did a lot of bike shops in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
We also have dinnerware that was made over in France, serving the 12.
Okay, now let me just tell you that so much china has come out, whether it be Haviland out of France or Syracuse out of the United States, so much has come onto the market in the last 4 to 5 years that it has reduced the value of it. So you just hang on to that set because it's going to go back up in value. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's not going to bring what it should.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. To line two next, back here locally in Urbana.
Hello.
Yes.
My grandfather grew up in Gloucester, Massachusetts, where his ancestors were ship's chandlers. And I have a fire bucket here that says Ship Boston. And on the bottom it says, saved from the ill-fated packet ship Boston, Captain H.C. Mackey, burnt at sea May 26, 1830.
Is it leather, ma'am?
No, it's wood.
It's a wooden bucket.
Yes, it's painted green, and it has a red and yellow stencil. It looks like it may be stenciled.
Mm-hmm.
Painted ship Boston, which is peeling off.
Right.
And it's got two iron bands holding it together.
Right.
It looks as if it was made sort of like a barrel would be made.
Right.
The wooden pieces are not all the same width. And then it says on also E.D. Knight, first officer.
Mm-hmm. And is the paint in pretty good condition? You say a little bit is peeling.
It's peeling off and it's faded.
Mm-hmm.
But it has not been, nobody's tried to paint it or anything.
Right, right.
I see some screws that have been affixed. There are rivets in it originally.
Mm-hmm.
And some screws have been added where the
right.
Rivets fell out, I suppose.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful artifact.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not only that, firefighting equipment is very, it's just a very hot item.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
It really is. Huh. And in fact, I think it's the chief, fire,
marshal,
I don't know that he's
chief.
The marshal, but here in Champaign-Urbana is an avid collector. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say that your bucket is worth 500 up.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And you need to do a little research on that. But it's,
what should I do to preserve it?
I wouldn't do anything right now until you talk to someone that would really know, because paint is very unstable. The types of paint used could have varied.
Yeah, because I don't think it's as in as good condition as it was like 30 years
right.
ago.
Right, I would keep it away from the heat.
Okay,
out of the sunlight.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
But has historical significance also, not just the fact that it's an old fire bucket, mm-hmm. but it sounds like it has historical significance too, which should be researched and try to document. And that is something that would be most valuable in Gloucester.
Yes, I think when we were in Gloucester, we saw a painting of this ship.
Oh,
fantastic.
In the museum there.
Right.
Well, hang on to that. It's a real treasure.
It really is.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 with Matthew and Barbara Peckham from Peckham Estate Sales and Appraisers in Champaign, and we're inviting your questions about antiques and collectibles. You want to call us? Do that. We have several people here. I'll admit we'll just keep right on going with callers for the time that we have. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Robinson's next, line number three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have an old cabinet that was given to my mother many years ago. I know nothing about it. I don't think it has great value, but I just wondered if there was much demand. I've had it called a possum belly cabinet. Hoosier. It has two drawers at the bottom that are like a half a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's been stripped.
Flower.
I just wondered if there was any demand for something like that.
Yes, there is. Do you know the manufacturer of it? It should have a little metal tag on it somewhere.
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's down in the basement.
But it's just the lower portion. It's not an upper portion of a Hoosier.
No, I have both portions.
You do have both portions?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's in fairly good shape, but it has been, I had it stripped because it had been painted many times.
Sure.
I don't use it. I have no use for it, and I just wondered if there was a demand.
There is a market for that, and I would say you're talking about somewhere between $300 to $500.
I see. Would any local antique dealer be good, or would there be?
I would certainly give them a ring.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. To Aurora next, line four. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question. I have three pieces of milk glass, and I notice every time you talk about China or some other article, they say what is on the back of it, on the bottom of it. But with milk glass, there are no notes on the back.
That's right.
Identification.
There are fabulous books on milk glass. What sort of things do you have?
Well, I have one that is the milk glass, and it's ruffled, so to speak, and then it has it's clear glass for about a quarter of an inch on the end of the ruffle. And then I have a basket that's ruffled all around with milk glass, and then one, I don't know, what do you call this, that it's like a cut-out glass, and it's very heavy. It's a half an inch thick. I measured it. I'm not concerned about the value as much as I wonder why it doesn't say the name of the company on the bottom of it.
Some of them do.
Some of these are Fenton.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fenton would be marked. It has a raised F on the bottom. In script.
Really?
Yes.
I'm turning these over because none of these have.
Yes,
and I
some
know
of them Fenton is not
these,
right.
Well, I guess I'll have to go to the store and look at some. None of these three, and I know they have value. Mm-hmm. They were given as gifts. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to say about?
Many of these companies had a mark. Imperial Glass, Fenton, Northwood. Northwood is an N on the bottom that's in raised letters. But, of course, it's not like China where you can impress a mark on it with glass. People just didn't bother. marking with exception of these few companies. However, even some of their work is not marked. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult.
It is. Well, does that makes it more difficult to figure out who made it?
Absolutely, it does.
Dating it. It's been reproduced. A lot of it's being reproduced now. Martha Stewart has come out with a line of jadeite glass, which copies Depression-era glass that she collected, and now she has a company that's reproducing it. It's just like the old stuff.
So you got to know what you're buying.
Yep. Lots of phonies
out there. Lots of reproductions.
All right. Next is line one, and this is now back in Champaign. Hello.
Hi. I heard what you said about furniture, you know, and if you refinish furniture, it loses its value. And I'm wondering, is that the same for antique clocks? If you have the clockworks repaired, does that lessen its value?
Not at all. I mean, if you want a working clock, you're going to have it repaired. Right. Yes.
Well, I do want a working clock.
Right.
But is there someone in Champaign who works on antique clocks?
There are several people.
There are a couple. I'm sure there's some in the phone book. The only thing with a clock is replacing the complete works. That can affect the value, or maybe repainting the face.
Oh, not repainting the face.
Right.
It's just, you know, when I was a little girl, I remember this clock, you know, it has a key and you have to, you know.
Right.
You know,
crank. They need cleaning periodically.
Yeah, it used to chime, but, you know, sometime by the time I was an older kid, it never did, and the key's been lost.
Right. They have reproduction keys that the clockmaker could get for you.
Oh.
But Mom has a couple names here that she's looking up of clock repair people.
There's a Mr. Hannon, Bruce Hannon, in town,
and
his number is 356-3646.
Okay.
John Fluck, whose number is, oh, dear, I cut off a part of it. F-L-U-C-K, John.
Okay.
But there should be some in the book.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Good
luck.
All right.
Very good. Thank you. To next line number two, Vermilion County. Hello.
Hello. I have an oak mantle that was in a house that was built in 1904, and I just wondered if there's any market for an oak mantle.
Sure is. Is this ornate or very simple?
No, it's pretty simple.
Okay.
And it's never been refinished.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Just off the top of my head, I would say if it's a very simple mantle, you're going to get somewhere over $100 for it. Difficult to tell you unless we see it. But also just keep in mind that you can donate that to places like PACA here in Champaign-Urbana, who sell architectural elements. And you can use it and get a tax deduction.
Donate it to who?
There are numerous organizations. If you're in Vermilion County, are you around Danville?
Yes.
Yeah. There are, you might even check with the museum there, the Vermilion County Museum.
Uh-huh. But
that is another option.
Yes. Where would you be able to sell something like this?
To any of the antique dealers. You have numerous ones on Vermilion in Danville, and I'm sure elsewhere. And I know there are some in Rossville.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. To Charleston, line three. Hello.
Hello. I want to ask you about an oak bureau that I bought. Supposedly, it's dated 1870. It has strap work in the lid, the slanted lid, a box stretcher, and plank sides in its four-drawer. And supposedly it comes from Auchterarder, Scotland. And I've never been quite sure if the people who sold me this were, you know, entirely truthful that indeed it is this old.
Well, one thing that struck me was when you said oak and you mentioned the date. There wasn't much oak furniture in America that was made at that period.
Uh-huh.
Oak was a typical thing that was used in Scottish, English, and Irish furniture. So I would say it has a good chance that it could be Scottish.
I would hope that it's a mission style. Is it very simple or ornate?
No, it's simple.
It could be. If you're wrong on the date, it could be American of the arts and crafts period, which
could be Scottish.
European arts and crafts.
Absolutely.
It has brass handles, the ring pull handles,
mm-hmm.
and strap work across the front.
Mm, that so sounds arts and crafts almost, ma'am, really.
Uh-huh.
But it also could be a reproduction of a Jacobean style antique.
Yes,
that was a
Are
typical...
you here in town?
No, I'm in Charleston.
Yeah.
If you would send us a picture of it, we can identify it for you and tell you where to go from there. But mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it's Mission because it would be worth quite a bit of money for you.
Oh, really? I've wondered about bry wax. I haven't wanted to refinish this. It, mm-hmm. it doesn't really.
Now, don't do anything to it.
it doesn't really need it, but just.
It's kind of dry looking or.
Well, I have young children who fingerprints get on it,
mm-hmm.
and I've never had the nerve to try bry wax.
Right. It's certainly a well-known product. I can't certainly recommend it, not knowing that much about it.
Uh-huh.
But to me, the wood isn't as important as like the having the original patina on the strap work is desirable,
uh-huh.
to not polish the brasses and or the copper.
Okay.
So you might want to wax that, and that might preserve that part.
Okay. And it does, the sides are not paneled. It's a full piece of wood there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was significant that it's not paneled but a plank.
That would be almost an arts and crafts trait, too, them wanting to have something that was very sturdy and not... pieced together, but made out of large, heavy planks of lumber.
Okay. Well, I'll take a snapshot of it and send it to you.
Great.
Great. All right.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have to stop because we have used the time, and we have some folks we can't take. My apologies, but I'm sure on another day we'll have some more Peckhams come back here, and we can do it again.
We could probably find a few more Peckhams.
Sure. Well, we could accommodate a few more. Matthew Peckham, Barbara Peckham, thanks very much.
It's been
Thank
fun,
you, David.
Very much. Always.